Thank you very much. What a blessing to be here. It's a privilege. Honestly, I can honestly say every time I led a church or planted a church, it's only been a couple in Canada and here, every time I leave, it grows. Thank you. But isn't that exactly what you'd want in your life? Who would want to give their life to something that's just nothing? We get to give our lives to amazing, amazing things. I just want to say thank you, Rory, for just an amazing opportunity. Your words are too kind. I am just indulge an old guy. I believe God just gave me one verse, and I'm going to preach the whole Bible after that, but just one verse. And it's really easy for me. Let me just read the verse. It's Philippians 4, verse 1. He says, therefore, and whenever you see the therefore, you got to remember what's before, why it's therefore. My brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. Stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Those words, when I stand here in 3CI, those are my heart. I believe it's God's heart. It was Paul's heart. Rory said, we don't matter very much. What matters is Jesus. And I'm going to contradict him. No, I'm not. What I feel God saying from Paul's words to us this morning is, I just wish you knew how important you were to God and to this church and to your family and to one another. I just wished you knew the joy that you are a joy and a crown to God, to one another, and to us. It's, may God bless this word. Let's close in prayer and go home. All I can say this morning is how faithful God is. If I could sing, I would sing, Great is Your Faithfulness. I would sing it. He's so wonderfully faithful. And Paul, writing to his friends in Philippians, he just, time and time again, he just gets filled with the joy of God and sorrow and My sermon, just in case I never get to it, is the crown and his cry and the cross. And it's out of Philippians 4:3 here, somewhere in there, and we'll get there. But I just wish, by God's grace, you see, it's so easy for me to be able to say to my beautiful daughters, my daughters are here today, and my daughter-in-law, and my grandkids, my no-good sons are with their no-good son-in-law-to-be. Somewhere by the Fall River, and they're torturing him, and they dyed his hands purple and his feet purple. So we'll see by the wedding if it recovers or what they do. They'll be here tonight, Lord willing. But it's so easy for me to look at my own family, my wife, and my kids, and say, my joy and my crown. And what I've often said, talking with George Ivers over in whatever that place is called over there, Centurion, I said to him, you know, if he comes to Canada, he must speak to our church like he would really like to speak to his church. And so while I'm here, I want to say things to this church that I really want them to come and say to our church in Canada. And it sounds like we want to be tough with each other and hard on one another, but what I really would love you to hear this morning is how precious you are as God's people to the leaders of this church. how valuable you are, how important you are. As I said, it's easy for me to say it about my daughters and my kids and to be able to stand here and say, my joy and my crown. If I hold my grandson, I can kiss his head all morning, and he's precious. But somehow, by God's grace this morning, you need to know how precious you are to your family. Let's start with family, to your husband, to your wife, to your mom, dad, to your children. But then to this church, and then to God. If you could just know how special you were, how precious you were, how if we had time, we could go through the aisles and take people's heads. And Rory's already talked about, George Ivers always called you Frommels. I'm sorry, brother. That's the only name I know. Francois. Oh, that's terrible. How precious you are. How valuable you are. If I look across the audience, there's so many new people, you don't know who I am, and you're still trying to figure out what the heck this guy is all about. But just hear the Spirit of God this morning saying to you, you're precious. You're valuable. You're God's child. You're his precious one. And Paul's writing to his friends, and he's saying to them a couple of things earlier in this verse. And then he says, therefore, my beloved, my brothers, my joy and my crown. I'm going to stay there for a minute. Just take someone's face in your hands this morning and tell them they're precious to you. I'm feeling very, very sentimental because we're back in South Africa. Only God could put together this type of thing. As Rory said, you know, we went to Canada to plant a church, and My daughters weren't that excited. My sons weren't that excited. Nicole was there studying. She was waiting to come back to Africa. She's studying to be a nurse, to work with kids, be a missionary in Africa, go and take care of orphans and children and nurse and serve the Lord. And we move back to Canada. And Melanie goes back in grade 12. She's missing her last year and all the amazing things and the 21st birthday parties and the things that she grew up with here in South Africa. And we're sitting in Canada, and we're saying, oh, God, what are you doing? What are you calling us to? And I just want to testify quickly to the faithfulness of God that in our church, which started with my daughters and sons together in a house, and about a week later, Grant Askam and Charmaine came, and that was it. We're sitting there in this old farmhouse looking at one another and saying, what happened? My kids are sad. They are saying, what are we doing? And I just want to testify that in our church, which we planted and God has blessed us with, both of my daughters found husbands. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. I know guys who travel around church to church, ladies who are looking, there's no good men. I remember when we were here in 3CI, so many guys, you know, there was rows of young ladies and they're looking for young men. I don't know if it's still the same, but it was like God said to me so clearly in my mind, he can take care of my family. He can take care of everyone. He is so faithful. And so in the beginning of our church with just a couple of couples, young adults coming, Nicole was kind of the missionary who started it, had a few friends. A young man came and joined our church and fell in love with Nicole, and the rest is history. You have two grandsons. Melanie the same. She was saying, God, what are we doing here? I left all my friends. I left all my family. And God knew to bring someone from Menlo Park to Edmonton. Had nothing to do with our church plant. Friends of Tammy Lobisher, if you remember. Lobisher, however.
Lobisher.
Yaswar. All I want to say is God is faithful. He's faithful. When you just love him and serve him and live your life and just cry out to him and give him your heart, he is faithful to take care of everything. And so this morning, I only got a few minutes. I got lots of time. I'm just looking for someone. Dennis and Annie, you're way too easy if I pick you. You. You're just about as easy. Come here. Come in this light. All I want to say, Jeff, my joy and my crown. I don't have the right to act like a father. I don't have the right to be any kind of leader in your life. But I've known you for a long time. And I just speak to you. And I say, if you only knew how much it meant, your friendship, your faithfulness, for me to come back 8 years later and to see you and your wife and your kids faithful, serving God. That's it. That's it. That's what we get. That's what we get. We get friendship. Yeah. We get God. We get love. You are a joy and a crown. You are a joy and a crown. And I bless you. And I bless you and I bless you. And I prophesy amazing things for your life. I remember doing a lot of crazy things with you. And I remember your testimony of how, you know, stealing tourist toothpaste in the bathrooms. God is so good and he's so faithful. Mm-hmm. To see you serving God, I will keep preaching for another 40 years. Just seeing you. And I bless you. And I bless you. Bless you, Jeff. Bless you. Which one? Oh, come, please. Dolan, come with your wife. God is good, eh? He's so good. He's so good. He loves us. We're so messed up. I'm talking about me. We're so pitiful, but he's so good. He's so good. He's so good. He never quits. He never gives up on us and our kids and our ministries and our lives and our families. Oh, I love you. You know that? We see you on Facebook. We creep a lot of people all the time. And you were so faithful to always like and to say things about our family. And we follow you guys and we pray for you. And when I see you, I don't know what's going on in your life right now, but when I see you, I know God's faithful. Mm. You're a joy and you're a crown in God's kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I believe, you know, God has already been speaking a lot about forgiveness, forgiving each other. Yeah. Oh, a lot of snot. Sorry. I usually make people cry. I don't usually cry. Could I just encourage you? Just start like today's the first day of the rest of your life. Just free. Free. And if there's anything I've done to harm you, to disappoint, to nothing, then just live free. Just, can you look at this? Turn around. Could you turn around? You know what I would love? I would love for you to just be able to enjoy this more. Your part in it. Enjoy what God's doing. Is that okay? This is good, eh?
Lovely.
We could do this forever. You see, what I felt when I read that verse is, this is all we get, you guys. It's not some big thing. It's not some big ministry somewhere. This is it. We get our families, we get a church, we get some friends, we get to encourage a few people to follow Jesus. And we just do it. We do it together. Mm. And we bless you. Bless you. I don't, you know what? I don't think you know how important you are. Come here. I don't think you know how important you are. How precious you are. Just receive it. Just freedom, joy, blessing. Yeah. Is it good?
It's good.
Good. Yeah. Bless you. Princess. If you're my daughter, which you're not, but I say it many times when I stand at an altar, I tell you, just live free in your heart.
Yeah.
Love your husband. Love your kids. Love God. That's all we get.
That's all we can do.
Yeah, that's all we get. One go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bless you. Bless you. Nice to see you. My joy and my crown. That's my first point. Second one, Paul says, those of you who are mature take such a view of things, which he's just been talking about all the stuff. But he says it this way. He says, I say it with tears. He said, many live as enemies of the cross. He's not talking about the guys out there. Because he would have said everybody if he meant that. He's talking to his brothers and sisters. He says their God is their stomach and, you know, their minds are on earthly things. And he breaks his heart. That's just before he says my joy and my crown part. And this morning is one of those mornings of crying a lot. And if George or Rory could be speaking in my church in Edmonton, what I'd like him to say is this, is what I'm going to say to you. If you, you know, I've already said, if you only knew how important you were to this church and to the leaders, but if you only knew the pain, if you only knew the nights and the anguish and the tears. Paul says, I say it again with tears. Paul's not a wimp. Paul is a man. He took it. He said he's saying it with tears. He says it with tears when he thinks of those who live as enemies of the cross. And I have people go through my mind, people that were in this church, people who led churches, people who are in our church in Edmonton. I would love them to hear God's heart, more than my heart, but God's heart for them, how he longs for them. And that's why I'm saying to a couple of people here this morning, all we get is this life to live it. To live it passionately for God, to love our families, to love one another, to love Jesus, to forgive one another, to walk in something of that. The world has nothing to offer for us, nothing to give us. I've been around the world. I have money. I have what a lot of South Africa, like we've met people down in Durban, South Broome this week, and they hear Australian accent, they hear Canadian accent, where are you from? And yeah, talk about South Africa. First things out of their mouth, terrible place, crime. And we want to like, please don't ever come to Canada. You're so miserable. You're sitting in a ocean beachfront house, looking at the ocean. That timer's going there, brother. I'm moving over here. I won't see that. I don't know what to say, but I got to say, stop living like enemies of the cross. And if we went into the scriptures, we could take time and we could go through a little describing some of that. But basically what he's saying is they're just consumed with themselves. Consumed with me and mine and what's in it for me. And it breaks God's heart. You imagine Jesus is standing here today. Imagine he's here. He's here by his Holy Spirit. Imagine all that he has to offer. Imagine the life he wants to give us. Imagine the grandchildren, the generations. I don't know who will come to me without fighting. Hi, Ben. Sorry, I'm taking your book for a minute. Let me just show off a grandson for a while. You say hi. Imagine Jesus. I'm Jesus. And this is me. What I would do for this guy. And I'm nothing. But what I would do for this guy. I would die for this guy. I would give my life for this guy. And what's more important, I want to live for this guy. I want to be an example. I want to end well. He's making me hot. Not so strong as I used to be. I want to end well. What is the point of preaching to thousands, Paul said? What's the point of all this stuff and then you lose out? You fake out, you flake out, you mess up your life. And I believe God is speaking to us this morning in this whole tent is that how precious you are and how what he has to offer to you, what he wants to give you, the life he wants to give you, the purpose and the value and the meaning to your life that God wants to give to you. Don't throw it away. Don't waste it. Like people say, well, the church hurt me. Churches don't hurt anybody. People hurt people. I've said it before many times that, you know, nobody says the gym hurt me. It actually did, but that's why I never go there. You want an excuse to walk away, to live frustrated, to just go around in circles for 30 years until you finally come back and say, oh God, why? You want that? I'll give you a reason. There's lots of reasons. People will hurt you. You're going to feel frustrated. You're going to make mistakes with your life. There's lots of reasons to live in that enemy of the cross kind of place. But Paul says it with tears. He says, many live like that. Many. Why? Why would you do that? Why would you waste a minute in that place? I'm telling you, God is offering to us a life of forgiveness, a life of peace, a life of joy, a life of love, a life of relationship, no matter where you're at in your life. You can start today, right today. And there's a whole new world to live in. There's a whole new life to live. Somebody said it. It was Adele. Her great ministry, worship, is her family. And I like preaching on marriage. Our greatest vocation is our marriage. Think about it. Or your singleness, if you're in that condition. Either one. They're both the same. They're our greatest vocation. They're our greatest calling to submit our marriage, submit our singleness to God. And say, my greatest ambition is going to be my marriage. My greatest ambition is going to be live this holy life, to live a life that's pure if you're single. I'm going to keep myself for God and for my future spouse if there is to be one, or just simply for myself. I'm going to worship God with this life. My greatest ambition is often looked down on, but to have that ambition, that amazing ambition that this life, this marriage is going to count, this family is going to count, this life is going to count for God. And if you're living single, it's the same. I've always loved the prophetic word that came from my daughter Nicole years ago. Some amazing prophetic words have been spoken over our kids over the years. But one that I remember is when they said to my daughters, it was her at the time, and I've used it, I've stolen it 1,000 times, is simply this: let those men out there, your future husband, catch you, catch up to you as you go hard after God. Don't ever turn around. Don't ever slow down. Don't ever compromise for some guy. Live your life, your highest calling, your vocation, your singleness for Jesus, flat out. And let some poor beggar catch up to you if he can. Let him find you in the house of God. Let him find you doing the things of God. Let him find you worshiping Jesus. And if he's worthy enough to come alongside, then good for him. Make your marriage, make your singleness your greatest ambition, also your greatest passion. I love speaking about sex. I love sex. Sex is good. Now you mentioned it. Our greatest passion has got to be our marriage. It's got to be our singleness. And then our greatest gospel message to the world is our marriage or our singleness. It's us. You don't have that, right? You don't have a gospel message. And Paul says it breaks his heart. Brings tears to his wee noofy eyes when he watches people live as enemies of the cross. I feel like I'm wearing a skirt. So, he says, therefore, those of you who are mature, you should think like this. And what he's been saying is, I count everything like rubbish, that I may know Christ, the power of his resurrection, and to somehow attain to that, to somehow to live up to that, somehow keep up to that. And Paul challenges them to find examples, find men and women. I'm taking it right out of Philippians 3 and 4. Trust me, it's there. He says, find examples to look to. I like the word. Let me just, my English is not so delicious anymore. He says, brothers, in verse 17, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. That's the word I wanted to remember. Keep your eyes right between amongst your eyes. Focused. Keep your eyes on men and women. Keep your eyes on those who are good examples. Why do we do that? Because it pulls us along. That's why I said, I don't know if you know how important you are. When you are faithful, when you come to this church, and I wished I could see further back, and you, ma'am, you, sir, just by showing up, not because you spoke, not because you did anything, but just because you showed up, probably 17 other people showed up. I remember in the north, in the Moot, when we had a life group there, people would come by clans. It was amazing. We had a life group of 120 people. We finally just rented the Boy Scout Hall. And we had a visitor's table and we had a welcome table. It was our life group. And that's true. I'm not making it up. And people came because they liked other people. They didn't even know who I was. If they did, they wouldn't have come. Do you remember Olafier? What's their names? Olafia, Stella and Louie. They filled that Boy Scout hall. Every time we came to church, they were roaming around. Oh, where do you live? Where do you live? Everybody that lived on that side of the Moot over there, they were in that life group. Because of them, because of their hearts, because of who they were, because of their commitment, because of their lives. I don't know where they're at today. I think they live in Johannesburg. I don't know. But it's like, if you only knew how special you were and what it meant that you showed up this morning. Brilliant. And then Paul says it with tears, brokenhearted. If you only knew what it meant when you don't show up. If you only knew what it meant when you just ease back and when you just give up or when you just stop the race. I got to end right here, and I'll end it with this. There's people I know, because this is all recorded. And I have spoken to them. I've spoken to them with tears in my eyes, anything I can do. I've spoken angrily. I've spoken with tears. I've spoken every way I can. Bring your kids to church. Don't mess around in this season of your life. Because here's what I had to say. Because the day is going to come. Right now, they're begging you to bring them to church. And I got people in my mind when I'm saying this. But the day is going to come when you are going to beg them to come to church. And they won't come. Because for some reason, you decided to just mess up your life. You decided to just back off. You decided to just take it some time to be offended, to be hurt, to be whatever, too busy. I don't even want to put words in your mouth. Just stepping back. And Paul says, I press on. I take hold of that thing. He says, and find some people and keep your eyes on them. We all need people to keep our eyes on. And if you don't have people like that, then find some. And then be some of those people. Be that man. Be that woman. Be that husband. Be that young adult. Be that grandpa who doesn't get all sour and miserable. Yes. This church is for young people. Oh, we sure hate to have that, wouldn't we? We'd freaking like to have a bunch of old people just like you. Ooh, this church is too loud. Thank Jesus, there's people in this church. Thank God there's a gospel being wrung out from this place. And I'm being hard on the old guys because I'm a hard old guy myself. We got to quit being so sour and so, and just love on God. Love on people. Love on our families. Love and bring people. So I don't know what I've said to you this morning, but my cry is, you are special. You're important. Because you came today, other people came today. See, when you have a big group like this, it's easy to hide. It's easy to say, well, it doesn't really matter. I'm telling you, it matters. It matters. Every one of us matters. And how we live our lives matter. And the example we live matters. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't back away. My prayers this morning is Paul's words. He says, therefore, my brothers, who I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Stand firm. Stand firm. Okay, I'm done. We had a 25 reunion of our college, 25-year reunion. I graduated 40 years ago from that college or something like that. Not that long. Yeah, I did. 40 years. Some of you weren't even born yet. And one of the songs they sang was the old Negro spiritual. I think I'll sing it for you this morning. Okay? The old devil, he wears a clubfoot shoe, and if you're not careful, he'll put it on you. Do you want some more? No. It's a true song. No. The clubfoot shoe is what they would put on a runaway slave that forced their feet like this so they couldn't run. But they would leave them on so long that they would never recover. For their whole life, they were clubfoot. I'm telling you, it's a song, but when I see people allowing the devil to put them in a clubfoot shoe, and they live in this place of crippledness, they live in this place of half life, half freedom. Like, I didn't even get to my text, sorry, please buy my book, but these are Christians. This is not a salvation message. This is a Christian message Paul's writing to. And they're living crippled. And if you're not careful, he'll put them on you. I don't want to live crippled. I want to forgive. I want to love. I want to be able to look people in the face and say, you're a joy and a crown. Honestly. Honestly. Mr. Light Switch, I love you. I used to sit, my office used to be across from Andy's. I don't have much secrets to tell here. Tell them all. George and I used to, you know, people would come and they have serious needs, and I was quite good at speaking with people and helping them, but we preferred to say, you know what? I think Andy could really help you. I mean it. And maybe you don't know Andy that well yet. You'll get to know him, but he looks like this quiet, nice prof kind of guy, very eloquent, very soft, nice. You get him alone in his office. I've heard him. What were you thinking? And I'm over there and just say, yes! Give it to him, Andy. Give it to him. And that way I can be the nice guy. Will you let me pray for you this morning? Old Satan, he wears a clubfoot shoe, and if you're not careful, he'll put it on you. This morning, Father, I pray that each one in this place would realize how precious they are to you, how precious they are to this church, how precious they are to the leaders of this church. Just by showing up, not because they did anything, not because they are excellent at anything, but just for showing up, just for being alive, God, because we are your family, because we are children, we come to you and you make something out of our lives. And I pray this morning for every one of us. I pray, God, for forgiveness as we've already prayed. I pray for release in hearts. And I pray, God, if there's one here today that feels unvalued, that feels, what's the point of what I'm doing? What's the point of being faithful and carrying on in my singleness? What's the point of being faithful in this marriage? Nobody sees, nobody cares, nothing changes. God, I pray this morning you'll reach out your hand to them. And I pray you'll lay your hand on them and they'll feel your precious, precious love and your precious anointing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed for a moment, I just want to ask, if you're here today and you say, I need a touch from God. I need a touch from God. I need his hand on my head. I need his encouragement today. I need him today. Would you just lift your hand? Put it up high. Thanks. Many, 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 many. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. You can take your hands down. Thank you. Many, many, many. I'm going to ask Rory to come. I'm going to ask you to close how you want. I know God loves us today. and I'm feeling his presence. In Jesus' name, amen.